Everybody in the meeting. The time is now just a minute after two.
Recording in progress.
We have the requisite number for us to start our meeting. Let me welcome the Special Investigations Unit led by Advocate Motibi and your team to welcome you to our session on the annual report for the SIU 2021-2022. You will be a surprise. I'm standing in for the chair. The chair has other engagements, so I'm the acting chair for this session. Welcome to our meeting and welcome everybody else. We're not going to waste any time. We're going to invite you to make the presentation to us. We have received your comprehensive presentation. And as usual, we're looking forward to be hearing from you. We have 45 minutes allocated to you for your presentation. And thereafter, members will engage in discussions and interactions with the report. Over to you, Advocate Motibi.
No, thank you very much, Chair. We appreciate the opportunity to present to the Honorable Committee and members. As the presentation has been loaded, I wish to indicate to the Honorable Committee that I'm joined by my colleagues. Will not introduce them all. Really be introduced before to this honorable committee. There's two of them that would also be making presentations, which is the CFO and the Chief Human Capital Officer. With your permission, Chair, I will proceed. As the honorable chair has indicated, we are presenting our annual report of SIU for the financial year that ended in 2021-2022. If you go to the next slide, please. Next slide. Ms. Mpotulo, can you please slide down?
It's a bit slower. Maybe as you ask them to go to the slides, just so that we give you more time that on your vision, mission and mandate,
yes.
You have schooled us on that so that you save time on that.
Yes.
You might want to
see. Indeed. Yeah.
Thank you, Advocate.
That's right. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, it looks like, and you know, we were testing it earlier on and it was fine. I don't want to proceed with the assumption that honorable members have put copies. We want to project it.
No, we'll give you 2 minutes to fix that and see how it works. Let's just take 2 minutes or 3 minutes to fix it.
Please, Honorable Chair, as I said, you know, we were testing it and it was fine.
Chair, Honorable Neil Dupin.
Yes. Honorable Drechen.
My apologies, Chair, for coming in while they're fixing. If it's possible, once they have established the better, you know, the presentation, if they can put it on slideshow so that we only see one slide, one page per slide, please. Thanks, and not two.
Okay. Thank you.
Through you, Chair. It's the Chair.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, just to guide to Ms. Mputulu. Can she stop sharing and start sharing from scratch? Because it does that, especially sometimes with load shedding, issues of network. So it might not assist to fix it if it gave a problem and it froze. I'm quite sure they can hear us. She can stop sharing and start sharing from scratch. It will be better that way. It's normally easier.
Honorable Chair, we really would like to make a request because it looks like it's a network issue on our side. Is it possible that we could be assisted? Perhaps the colleague at the secretariat can help us move the presentation. It would probably be quicker.
Sia, and Bonani, is that in order? Can it be done?
Sorry, Chair. It's Ms. Mputulu is sharing again. I think she took my advice. Can you just run it quickly before Advocate Mutim starts? Can you run it, Ms. Mputulu, to the next slide, just to check? Go to the next slide. See, it seems to be doing the same thing. Can you move to the next slide? It seems that there's a challenge. Can you stop and we'll try and assist from the side.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
is that when you're ready, just indicate to Advocate for the TV.
Advocate Mutibi, which slide would you like us to start on?
Thank you very much. You can go to slide number 7.
Okay, is it visible to members?
Yes, we can see it's running.
Okay. I think, yes, thanks, Chair. I think Advocate can continue, then you'll just guide me to the next slides. Thanks.
Yeah, go to slide number 7. Yeah, that's the one. Okay, Honorable Chair, thank you very much. These are the highlights that we thought would highlight to the Honorable Committee. These are in page 16 of the annual report. We are pleased to report 100% achievement of all our targets. And we will also be just touching on the 25-year celebration of the SIU's existence. We've also conducted a stakeholder perception survey, which we use to get the views of our stakeholders so that we can improve the services to our stakeholders. We've also opened an office in the Northern Cape, and we believe that completes our footprint in all the provinces in the country. We also just highlight the PPE investigation, and we'll come back to that. And of course, we are pleased to also report the 6th-year clean audit. And we want to also inform the committee on the digitization journey. And of course, there's some international recognition which we have received, being the deputy president of the International Association of Anti-Corruption Authorities. In the year under review, we were also appointed as the chair of the SADC committee of anti-corruption. We also received an award by the Institute of Risk Management of South Africa. The next slide. Next slide, please. Thank you. This slide really just indicates the point that I've made already, Honorable Chair, that we have opened an office in the in the Northern Cape, and already this office is really proving valuable to the community and the citizens in that province. The government departments have also welcomed it. We are seeing traction in matters that they are looking at. On the right-hand side, we've also increased our constructive, proactive media coverage in order to improve public confidence in the SIU. And then we have seen extensive coverage of the SIU in order to create positive perceptions in the SIU brand. And later on, you'll see, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that we have seen an increase in the proclamation. And of course, also we have increased stakeholder engagement. Next slide, please. If we go to the next slide. Thank you. Honorable Chair, this is the stakeholder engagement perception survey that I referred to. In the main, we were really seeking to get feedback from our stakeholders in terms of the investigations of the allegation on maladministration and corruption, recovery of financial losses, whistleblowing, and the independence. And we received quite a number of responses. We are aware that there's areas of improvement in terms of investigation of maladministration and corruption. We have seen there in the middle, you can see 63.1%. So we'd like to that maybe make sure that there's awareness of the work of the SIU. And in terms of the recovery of financial losses, where it, we also need to make sure that the Special Tribunal continues to do what it really was established for. On the whistleblowing, we have seen really a preference in terms of the usage of the SIU toll-free. On the independent side, we've got quite a number of feedback saying SIU is really doing its work independently. Of course, there's that question that goes to say if it's within the executive, is it really independent? But we believe that we have demonstrated that we can do our work without fear, favor, or prejudice. But this is the feedback we received. Now, if we go to the next slide, please. The next slide.
Sorry, Advocate. I'm not sure because it's moving on my side. I'm not sure if the problem is yours. Other members, can you see that I'm on slide 10, the strategic partnership?
It has moved now. It has moved now. It could be that the problem.
Yes.
It's slide 10. It's slide 10, strategic partnerships. That's what appears on our side.
Yes, it is. Honorable Chair and honorable members, as we do our work, this slide really just indicates that we've got partnerships as we are cognizant that the fight against corruption really requires partnerships nationally and internationally. Internationally, we've got the Globe Network, which is part of the United Nations. As we indicated, we are part of SADC, anti-corruption initiatives. The International Association of Anti-Corruption Authorities. And on the right-hand side, we've got our sister organizations like SARS, SAPS, NPA, the Hawks, and all other entities. So this slide just really gives that, that information. I'd like to move on to the next slide, please. really apologize, Honorable Chair, if the problem is on our side. Please indicate if the slide has moved on the side of the Honorable Committee, then I'll proceed.
We're now on performance environment slide.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Now, Chair, just to make a few comments on this slide. Based on the effective execution of the strategy and the monitoring of the APP, right, which we have linked to divisional operation plans and individual performance management plans, and all of them, of course, working towards the achievement of the SIU vision, these are the results that we are pleased to report. We are seeing, and these are on page 28 of the annual report, we are seeing that the SIU performance has increased over the years, and a comparison was made on the three previous financial years to showcase the recent increase. The financial year that we are reporting on, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we saw the SIU reach the pinnacle of performance when it recorded 100% achievement against its planned targets. In addition, the SIU markedly overachieved all the targets of its core business program. Now, the upward trajectory depicted below can be attributed to the commitment of the SIU staff to realizing the organization's vision, being the state's preferred and trusted anti-corruption and forensic litigation agency. As you can see there, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we've depicted the 3 years. In the year under below there, the circle on the left is the year that we are reporting on, 100%. Previous year, we reported 75%. In fact, the Honorable Committee implored us that we should work towards 100%. And the previous year, 1920, was 69%. I'm going to now move over to the next slide, slide number 13, just in the interest of time.
You are there now, slide 13.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Slide number 13, Chair. In fact, 13, 14, 15, and 17. Those ones are really not in the annual report itself, but is the information that we thought we would share and present to the committee so that we are transparent with the committee. There's a number of KPIs that we have moved sort of below the line, and below the line meaning that they do not appear in the annual report, but they are, or in the APP, and they are monitored in the operational plans. The first one, if you slide down, and all of them are really in the administration part of the program of action of SIU. Next slide. As we indicate there, Honorable Chair, that most of these indicators that we have taken to the operational are really compliance driven. For example, the submission of declaration of interest, we expect that everyone at SIU should be 100% compliance on this. And the next one was the maturity level around risk management. At that level, we have reached the highest level of the National Treasury maturity rating. If you can go to the next slide, please. The next slide, as you can see there, Honorable Chair, is that the submission to the Minister of our APP is again a compliance item. We thought we would really point it out that it was moved to the operational plan. And then the other one is really around the number of performance reports produced, percentage vacancies funded. On that one, we are now assessing the employee turnover rate, because when the employees leave the organization, that's really where we get, we have to be worried. And then the percentage implementation of the performance management system, that one we've also taken it to the operational plan. Next slide, please. Right, the next slide also deals with the percentage implementation of stakeholder survey, which we have now indicated and presented to the honorable members. And then the next one was the percentage implementation of the ICT plan, which we have indicated and we are also reporting on. And then the next one on the next slide, please. The number of targeted awareness campaigns, the number of annual trend reports generated, number of systemic improvements that we have shared with the state institutions, and of course the establishment and development of data analytics capacity. So on these ones, Honorable Chair, we thought we would mention it so that they are also as important, but we are monitoring them in the operational plan. If you go to the next slide. Right, the next slide, Honorable Chair, deals with the performance environment. Again, as we said earlier on, we're highlighting the PPE investigation that we did, and we're not gonna go through the whole slide. Honorable members would be aware that this was one of the keyest investigations we conducted, and we believe that we reached the outcomes within the timeframes that were allocated. As we speak, Honorable Chair, we are focusing currently on consequence management, including to responding and defending our reports, some of which are challenged in the high courts. And we believe that we have made substantive findings. We are also pleased that the Office of the Presidency has also come on board and prepared the monitoring mechanism in terms of ensuring that all of our referrals, be it disciplinary processes, be it NPA referrals, be it civil litigation, they are all going to be monitored to ensure that there's consequence management. I'll move over, Honorable Chair, to the next slide. The next slide really focuses now on the core business results of the organization, and we go quite in detail in the annual report. This slide can be seen on page 32 of the annual report. Honorable Chair, on the rent value of potential cash and assets recovered, we are reporting 5.9 billion. That has been reached, and to ensure that it's in the process, either in the special tribunal, to make sure that it's recovered. The rent value of potential loss prevented, as we always report to the committee, these are instances where we would have found that the contracts are irregular and the contract is still running, but we make recommendations and advise the state institutions not to pay and to discontinue the contracts. So had it not been for in intervention, these monies could potentially have been lost by the state. And then as we go down, is referrals to the relevant prosecuting authority, 570. And then we've enrolled 54 cases in the special tribunal to the value of 9.9 billion. In the middle, rent value of actual cash and assets recovered. As we always say, this is actual money that is in the trust account to be sent back to the state institutions, 436 million. And then we've got 469 referrals for disciplinary action against officials. And we've closed 28,000 focus areas of under various publications. And of course, as allegations are reported, because this is the part that brings confidence to the public. When they report allegations, they want to see allegations being assessed, and we ensure that we assess 100% of the allegations that we receive. on the right hand side, top right, we have recorded 5.5 billion of the contracts and administrative decisions that were set aside through the courts. So as the subsequent process of that is that we need to ensure that we convert now those orders and the decisions of courts into actual money. So that process is underway. On the next occasion we report, we should see an increase in the actual money that has been recovered. And then we've got more than 24,000 referrals made for the executive or administrative action, and 3.3 billion of matters in respect of which evidence has been referred to institute civil litigation. Now, this is where we start the process, and ultimately orders will be made, and it could be contracts are set aside, and those monies would then be converted ultimately into actual recoveries. This is now more around the allegations centrally registered for electronic tracking. Similar to the allegations that are received, we want to make sure that there's 100% consideration of the allegations, and of importance, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, is to give feedback to the whistleblowers and all those who report these allegations. The next slide, please. The next slide, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we've got a program as that helps us to execute our work, which is program one. The one that I just went through was program two, and then there's also program three. This slide shows that there are those highlights, and as I always indicate, this would be in page 33 to 34 of the annual report. In program one, the highlights, of course, is the clean audit and the issue around data analytics that we are continuing to pursue. And we have seen a 4% employee turnover rate and outreach programs that we conduct with the stakeholders. Again, on program three, those are the allegations that we are tracking 100% and give feedback to the whistleblowers. The next slides, Honorable Chair, really will go into some detail on the core business results, because I think they are very, very key to the results of the SIU. Next slides, thank you. As I indicate, this one would now show what the target was and what has been achieved and what the deviation was and the contributors to these results. On the rand value of potential cash to be recovered, we had target of 300 million. Honorable Chair, again here, we really exceeded this target, and we recorded 5.9 billion. Again, the nature of the investigations that we get in any particular financial year, we're showing the deviation there, but on the right-hand side, we are showing what the contributors were. The Transnet investigation contributed in this regard on some of the contracts that were set aside in the Transnet investigation. The rand value of actual cash and assets recovered, we're targeting 250 million, and we again exceeded. We recorded 436 million actual recovery, and that money is the money that now will immediately be in the process of being paid back to the state institutions. We do that in conjunction with the National Treasury. So this is really where now our work is really brought to full circle, where monies that we recover and have to be sent back to the state so that it can be put to good use. Again, the overachievement here was that there was a contract that was set aside in the Department of Water and Sanitation that really pushed the target to be exceeded. Specifically, it was the SEP contract that was cancelled, and SEP was ordered to pay back the money to the department. Rent value of contracts and administrative decisions set aside, In this regard, we targeted 1 billion. Again, we exceeded the target. We recorded 5.5 billion. The contributors there, the overachievement was the ESCOM investigation and the Department of Water and Sanitation. All of these are set out in detail in the annual report in page 39, page 40, and the next one is in page 41. The rent value of potential loss prevented, which is detailed in page 41 of the annual report. We targeted 500 million. We're recording 6.2 billion. Again, the contributor there was ESCOM investigations and Department of Water and Sanitation. Next slide, please. The next slides, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, deal with the referrals on around consequence management. Number of referrals for disciplinary action, the target was 170. We exceeded again by about 299. We recorded 469. These are on page 42 and page 44 of the annual report. The overachievement in this one was due to the PPE investigation. We made quite a lot of finding regarding the officials who made themselves guilty of misconduct. That investigation was so extensive and was quite a number of referrals that we made there. A number of referrals made for executive and administrative action. As you can see there, the target was 115, but again, the nature of the investigations in any particular year, particularly from the Department of Transport, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the administrative action in the Department of Transport investigation relates to the cancellation of licenses, where we have found irregularities. As we say there, we found that a number of deceased persons were being used irregularly and fraudulently by the officials in the department to dump the monies and the fees. So we identified that, and those are in the process to be cancelled. Number of referrals made to NPA, we targeted 225. We referred 570. Again, the contributor there was the PPE investigation. There was quite a number of referrals against individuals, against officials, against companies that have made themselves guilty of criminal offenses. Next slide, please. Right, the next slide, Honorable Chair, are really the number of investigations closed per published proclamation. As we always indicate, under one proclamation, there'll be quite a number of focus areas which we have to close until we close the investigation. So we've closed 28,000 focus areas where we had targeted 1,400. Again, the Department of Transport was a big contributor here. The rent value of matters in respect of which evidence was referred for the institution of civil proceedings, we targeted 1.7 billion. Again, here we recorded 3.6 billion. Again, in this regard, the Transnet investigation contributed significantly towards this. The details are in page 53 and page 54 of the annual report. Number of cases issued in the special tribunal, we issued 54 as against the target of 25. More investigations were finalized here, including PPE, Transnet, and some of the other investigations. And as we indicate, the details are in page 66 and 70, page 54 and page 57 of the annual report. Number of reports submitted to the president, we submitted 19. And again, there we really pushed to ensure that the target is met. We didn't really exceed it that much there because it really saw such an intensive process. And we would like to ensure that when our reports are challenged, we are on the legal safe ground. So that process is quite intensive. It goes through various review processes, but we reached the target. The next slides, Honorable Chair, slides 24 and 25. Again, just for the record, we included them here. They're not in the annual report itself, but we included them here so that we can demonstrate to the Honorable Chair and Honorable Members the increase of setting of targets over the years. And the Honorable Chair and Honorable Members will see that over the years, the targets were really increased significantly. And we want to really say, we attribute the overachievement, of course, depending on the nature of the investigations, but also on the drive and the lead that our lead investigators are giving to these investigations so that we can achieve as we achieve. But this slide, as you can see, some of the increases, you know, range from 49%, 102%, the rent value of actual cash, in fact, for the year under review, we increased the target compared to the previous year by 317%. And then the other part, if I were to just pick up some of the high percentages, the rent value of potential loss prevented. We increased that target compared to the previous by 67%. If you go to the next slide, please. These are really just the referrals now. But again, we thought we would show the Honorable Committee the stretch that we really applied. As you can see there, that they vary from 13%, 15%, and 12.5%. And we have included 22, 23, which is really the year that we are in now, and we will report on that one in the next reporting cycle. The next slide, Honorable Chair, is really matters that are in the special tribunal. We've already reported on that. And again, these are the matters that we will pursue. Our legal team is on instruction to pursue them. And we have seen, Honorable Chair, that the special tribunal really is continuing to prove that it was worth the while for the president to proclaim that tribunal. That tribunal is, we get a whole lot of challenges. Some litigants challenging the standing of the tribunal, some litigants challenging its authority. We now even have a case that is pending in the Constitutional Court. We believe that that court judgment, whenever it comes, it will set this issue to rest. Already the special tribunal has made some judgments where it has sought to clarify this aspect, but the litigants deemed it appropriate to go to the Constitutional Court. Of course, it's their legal right. We are awaiting for the Constitutional Court to guide this space, but we believe that the special tribunal is really effective. We have ongoing matters, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that are in the High Court and in the special tribunal. As you can see, we've got 96 matters that are in the special tribunal and High Court. The value of the contract that we seek to set aside is 65 billion. So Honorable Chair, on this one, and we're showing this deliberately so that if these matters are progressed as speedily as really would like to, we can see the recoveries increase. But of course, we are subject to the High Court processes, which we are engaging on with the litigants whenever there's some of the issues raised, what the lawyers would call interlocutory items being raised and matters being unduly delayed. We ensure that from our side, we challenge that so that these matters can proceed. The next slide really just again shows the proclamations issued in the year under review. And the details of that are in page 58 to page 65 of the annual report. And ongoing investigations, we are given the numbers there. and but they are detailed in pages 75 to 79 of the annual report. There you'll see at national level, provincial, local government, the state-owned entities. But as we continue to push that we reach the quick turnaround times at the next reporting cycle, we will be reporting on where we are. The next slides, I would like to, we'll move a bit quicker because in the interest of time. This slide, Honorable Chair, is really just to depict what I've said before, that given the increase in the performance, the turnaround times that are being reached to the satisfaction or meeting the public expectation, and I would probably say the expectations of the public representatives, like the honorable members, we have seen an increase in the allegations being brought and the increase in the proclamations. We are seeing a 122% increase. Now a related aspect is what are we doing with the resourcing? And Honorable Chair, that part will be covered in slides 39 and 50 of the human capital. So Honorable Chair, the next slides, in the interest of time, because we are just about to reach our target time now, we're dealing with governance, and I won't really spend a lot of time. This slide is really the committees that we attend. We ensure that whenever we are invited to the oversight committees of Parliament, we attend. We have attended as we were requested. The next slide. Next slide deals with the governance committees. Just like any other corporation or any organization, we've got subcommittees of accounting authority, audit committee, risk management committee, information technology committee, and human capital committee. Honorable Chair, I should have actually indicated that we are also joined by the chair of the audit committee. At the last committee meeting, we were requested that the chair of the audit committee join so that they can present their report. Dr. Madiba is joining us today. Honorable Chair, the next slide. We've already really touched on that. We are pleased to see the improvement of the governance in the organization. That is depicted by the clean audit that we are seeing, and we would really like to continue on that trajectory. Of importance, in the last paragraph there, we have implemented a very, very effective combined assurance framework, which is really championed by our chief audit executive. And we are really pleased that we are seeing the results on an ongoing basis. And that leads us now to the next slide that talks about the clean audit. Without repeating, Honorable Chair, this is the sixth consecutive year. As the Honorable Committee always implores us that it is expected of an organization like the SIU, you know, to keep it on the clean audit, and we will strive to do so. The next slide is about the internal audit. There was a number of audits that were conducted in the business, and all of those audits, about 18 audit engagements to strengthen the internal controls, all of them were finalized, and I'm sure the chair of the audit committee can confirm. They monitor this space without fear or favor. They call us out whenever we don't bring our part. The next slide, again, under risk management, is the business continuity. As a business, we would like to make sure that our business does not really get interrupted by any form of incident. We've actually even perfected this during the COVID-19, but as we speak today, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, this business continuity led by the Chief Risk Officer is working and working very well. The next slide. Next slide deals with the whistleblowing and reporting mechanism. We've already seen that there's an increase. If you see at the last line, for the year under review, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we received 1,184 whistleblowing reports compared to 661 in the previous. So it shows the trajectory, and this we believe is the public confidence that they are showing in the organization. The next slides, Honorable Chair, again, without going really into details on them, these are the strategic risks. I think suffice it to say, these risks are really receiving attention. The first one is the civil litigation. We are pursuing that. Risk number two is the monitoring of the remedial actions, which we have now even getting reports from the presidency. And the one, number three, is the threats to our investigators. We ensure that at any point where our investigators are threatened, we take steps without delay. The next slide, please. Risk number four. Risk number four is around the resourcing. As we see the trajectory of the growth of the proclamation, we are also resourcing accordingly, and the human capital officer will cover that. Risk number five, we want to ensure that we deal with the risks that would negatively affect our turnaround times. So we always want to turn around the investigations as quickly as possible. Risk number six is about the corruption prevention framework, which we are working with other government departments to ensure that we implement. Because Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, as government, we need to start building up in terms of the corruption prevention. And we will be reporting on an ongoing basis on what we are doing in that regard. Risk number seven is the issue around the funding model, which we really would continue engaging Treasury on. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I would like to pause here at this stage and just ask my colleague to really summarize the slides dealing with human capital. As I indicated, of importance is that we are resourcing the organizations adequately to meet the demands and ensure that we deliver adequately with appropriate skills, and we provide the training that's required. But perhaps with your guidance, Chair, because we are done with the governance part, the chair of the audit committee is ready, but perhaps we should just complete our presentation, then she can conclude, because the slides are at the end. I had said to her, we'll probably check with the honorable committee at what point she comes in. Honorable Chair, our human capital officer is ready to summarize the human capital section. Ms. Mashego, are you able to proceed, please? I just take it that the honorable committee members have seen the presentation, just in the interest of time. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, head of the unit, Dr. Nandi and my colleagues. I am ready, and I'm not sure if you can see me. Am I audible, and can you see me?
It's audible, and we can see you as well.
I will summarize, and I'm going to use only the slide that we have on the screen, Honorable Chairperson. In terms of our role, we've been mandated to render an integrated and people-centered solutions within the SIU, and in particular to ensure that we make SIU an employer of choice. And as I've indicated, I'm only going to use the slide to do a high-level summary. And amongst the key priorities that we have is to ensure that we keep the organization with prioritized positions within the structure at a minimum of 90% capacity, and ensure that we build capabilities with the different learning and development interventions at a rate of 85% and above. During the year under review, Honorable Chairperson, we have implemented a number of learning programs, interventions, internships, as well as partner with other organizations, other state agencies, the French Embassy, which is a great stakeholder who is providing the cyber forensic experts for the organization at this stage. And we are very much comfortable with that relationship going forward. In terms of the headcount, the planned headcount growth over the MTF period is actually planned to ensure that we align ourselves to the operational requirements. All the businesses have been engaged, and we are, of course, and have finalized the year with a complement of 587 as compared to 532 of the previous year. The resourcing model is balanced with a mix of both the permanent and the fixed-term contractors to manage, of course, the risk of unsustainable cost of employment. At the end of the financial year, we have achieved a 12% vacancy rate as compared to a target of 13%. So we exceeded the target that we had set for ourselves. The SIU is committed, Chairperson, to ensuring that we attract and retain a skilled workforce. And in doing so, we have managed in this particular space to retain then a 3.4% of a staff turnover as compared to a target of 5%. We are within an environment which we are driving a high performing culture, and we will ensure that that is inculcated within the talent that sits within this particular space. The implementation of the output performance system was actually underway in the year under review, and we have ensured that all the performance agreements as well as the reviews within that particular year were concluded within the agreed timeframes. The average overall scores of the reviews, you would see in the presentation that we have, that it reveals an upward trend, thus confirming, of course, our drive to ensure that we inculcate a culture of a high performing organization. We have further demonstrated our commitment to ensure that, the environment is well transformed, thereby advancing that the employment equity targets are met. And in the year under review, we have in actual fact employed at least 39 women in the senior and top management positions, which makes 31% of the total management workforce. So I said to you, Chairperson, I'm going to use the slide to make my presentation. And in the overall then, we are very much committed to ensuring that we work within our means, our affordability, to ensure that we retain and sustain this very organization. We have maintained discipline within the organization and are continuously ensuring that we have a safe working environment. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief Human Capital Officer. Honorable Chair, this would cover the details are really in slides 39 to 50, well summarized by my colleague. We've got no issues to raise to the Honorable Committee. The organization is well resourced. We are ensuring that we retain staff so that the turnover is not as critical. Honorable Chair, I'll give now over to the CFO, who would also, in the same vein, just summarize, but I would also just indicate to the Honorable Committee that as the head and the accounting officer, I am satisfied that the financial environment of the organization is sound. It's a going concern, and there are really no serious red flags to raise, with the exception of the debt space. The debtors that that we are experiencing, but we've got an initiative that will drive that part now in this financial year, where we become rigorous in collecting our debt. CFO, please, in the interest of time, if you can please just summarize.
Thank you. Advocate Motibi, and good afternoon, Honorable Chair and members. I'm really only going to cover two or three slides. This slide indicates the historic overview of the financial indicators, and we've just chosen the main ones. And you would notice on top there's the accumulated surplus, which is in the balance sheet, or also called the statement of financial position. And you would notice that it has grown from about 546 million up to just under a billion, 921 million. And you would see on the green line below it that the majority of that is reflected in the asset side in cash. You would notice from about 500 million growing up to 762 million. This is despite the SIU still experiencing challenges in the debt recovery, which I'll cover. So overall, if you go to the next slide, a very sound financial state of affairs. I've already covered the first two bullets. I think in the middle of the page, often a very important ratio is called the current ratio that compares your current assets to your current liabilities. And you would notice that that ratio is about 3.9 to 1. In any organization, any company, private or public, a good ratio, a sound ratio is normally 2 to 1. The SIU is almost double that. Then the last one we have maintained, and we were able to still have, despite the debt challenge, net cash flow from operating activities. In other words, positive cash flow. So there was not a net inflow. The net cash from operating activities was reflecting a positive of 22 million. Thank you. Then I'm not going to cover the other slides. Just want to highlight the debt. These I've already covered. If there's any questions on them, we can take them. You can go to slide 58, which is the debt summary of the outstanding debt. And this is the gross debt before the provision for outstanding or for bad debt impairment has been deducted. You would notice a total figure of just under 700 million. And that is split almost on a quarter basis between the spheres of government. And you would notice that the local government standing at 173 million, 26%. It's most probably our biggest challenge in recovering debt is the local government, the municipalities, national departments, 19%, provincial governments, 27%, 178 million, and then public entities, 190 million. So after year end, between April and 31 August, we've received of the total outstanding debt, only about 81 million. And although we continuously make efforts to recover the debt, we've kicked off a very focused project in September, and we're collaborating with all stakeholders, including National Treasury, in order to recover the outstanding debt. And that will place the SIU then in an even better and more sustainable financial position over the longer term. Thank you, Chair and members. That is my portion.
Thank you, CFO. Honorable Chair and honorable members, our concluding slides. If you go to slide number 62, it's some of the work that we are doing, mainly under the anti-corruption task team. And this part, Honorable Chair, is really proving to be a big, big work that going forward is going to grow. And I've now indicated to my colleagues that we should probably consider whether SIU doesn't need program 4 in terms of executing. So this relates to the implementation of the National Anti-Corruption Strategy, Pillar 6, which deals with the protection of vulnerable sectors. So in this case, we have taken a sector approach. We've got the Health Sector Anti-Corruption Forum, which was launched by the President, the Infrastructure Build Anti-Corruption Forum, which was launched by the Minister of Infrastructure, Public Works and Infrastructure, and recently Local Government. And these forums, Honorable Chair, we will report going forward in terms of their effectiveness, and how is it that it's galvanizing all the stakeholders in the sector, including civil society, including business and labor. In conclusion, without really taking a lot of time, we're really just talking about the future, and I won't spend a lot of time here, is that we've already covered the fact that we want to ensure that we meet our vision. If you go to the next slide, please. The prevention part of the fight against corruption, we will build up together with other law enforcement agencies. And again, the multi-agency collaboration, would like to make sure that that one we also make sure we pick up, and the digitization. Honorable Chair, with your permission, I'm sure my colleague will not really spend a lot of time. If you page through, there's the Dr. Madiba could probably just summarize. We've already covered the clean audit, and she could probably.
Okay, Advocate Mutibi, thank you. We seem to have lost you. Okay. Thank you, colleagues. That was a long presentation. Extra minutes granted there. I'm sure the chairperson of the audit committee can field in questions when they come. I now want to recognize members who are ready to engage with the presentation. I don't know what would have happened to Advocate Mutibi. Maybe you can just check that, Bonani and Sia, as I note the members that are going to speak now. I want to recognize Honorable Horn, Honorable Engelbrecht.
Honorable Chair, we apologize. We lost the network.
No problem. I suspected that. I just want to indicate that we want the chair to field in the questions, and then he at that point he can also make more input, the chair of the audit committee. I'm now just recognizing members. It seems that you are frozen again. Honorable Nivot, you will be next. Maybe just a minute before I hand over to you, Honorable Horn, so that the head of SIU will hear all your questions. He seems to be struggling. Can you just take a minute or 2 minutes break, and then we'll start with you, Honorable Horn, just to allow them to settle.
Honorable Chair, I just wonder if I'm audible.
Are you back now?
Yes, Honorable Chair. I really apologize. It's the network where we are.
Okay. Now, let me just explain to you. We've just taken a minute or 2 minutes that I've noted members are going to engage, and I've indicated that the chairperson of the audit committee would assist fielding questions, but will allow him also later to make his brief input. I hope, because I didn't want the members to start their questions before you are back online. You will indicate if you are now ready so that they can start their questions.
Yes, I'm ready, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation, very comprehensive. It's a marathon. No wonder the lines are breaking up as well. But let me invite the members. Honorable Horn.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and good afternoon to Mr. Mtibi and the team. As you say, Chair, a comprehensive report, but also simultaneously an impressive report. So I think firstly, we must extend a word of congratulations to the SIU for the both the clean audit and the way in which targets have been achieved. It is something the SIU could indeed be proud of. Chair, a few issues I wanted to raise. Firstly, on the debt issue, and linked to that, of course, the funding model of the SIU. We have had these engagements with the SIU over the past, and it is, of course, so that the SIU has set itself a medium-term target to redevelop and re-establish on the basis of a different funding model. So it could be good for us to get some feedback on the progress. As far as I remember, it's part of the five-year plan of the SIU to implement a different funding model. Then, Chair, a few issues I wanted to raise. Of course, our focus is as the Portfolio Committee for Justice and Correctional Services are typically, apart from having oversight on the SIU, also always looking out for the department and entities of which we have oversight. And in that sense, it would be good to hear how far the investigation into the different master's offices are and exactly what the state of play now is after the proclamation around the state attorney's offices, where there has been some action previously. And then simultaneously around specifically correctional services and PPE, Mr. Mtibi did make mention of PPP investigations, which sadly contributed much to the ability of the SIU to reach targets. Of course, that's not to detract from their efficiency, but I mean, it is sad that the pandemic ultimately were abused in such a way. So if we could be informed as to what the progress with those investigations were. Then, Chair, we will, of course, once again have this discussion with the NPA. But once again, in respect of, I think it was slide 22, and the number of referrals made to the National Prosecuting Authority, whether the issue around so-called case-ready dockets and the fact that prosecutions typically only follow renewed investigations by SAPS, whether that in any way or form has been settled. And then lastly, Chair, referring back to the SIU, I don't know whether they were able to have an ear when the Auditor General briefed this Portfolio Committee. The issue I wanted to raise with them is the issue of investigation turnaround times. Now, whilst the Auditor General, of course, did express appreciation for the number of investigations closed, it ultimately did point out that of the 76 live proclamations at the end of the financial year, more than one in every three, 26 of them were 3 years and older, with six of them even more than 5 years old. And the AGM made the valid point that, of course, recoverability decreases from 1 year to the next. So it would be useful in the bigger scheme of things if the SIU could finalize investigations before it really grows a beard. So I think for our purposes, it would be important to ask, even if by way of a follow-up report in writing, which are those the investigations older than 3 years, and what progress, if any, has been achieved, and what has precluded finalization within, I think, what one can call a reasonable time. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Hahn. I now recognize Honorable Jana Engelbrecht.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to echo, firstly, the sentiments raised by Honorable Hahn in congratulating the SIU for a sterling performance and a very positive report. I think probably one of the best I've seen in many, many years. But having said that, I would like to refer back to our previous engagement with the SIU in May this year, where we had a discussion. Would it be possible to give us some indication in terms of progress made of matters raised there, where I can, if I can recall, it was around accounting offices of state institutions that do not implement recommendations made by the SIU, as well as issues around the blacklisting of companies and individuals recommended by the SIU. Obviously, that needs to be done by other state agencies. But was there progress made on that, in that area specifically? Yes, but from my side, that would be all. And again, congratulations on a very, very positive report.
Thank you, Honorable Engelbrecht, for that contribution. And I recognize Honorable Velma Nievold.
Can the host spotlight Honorable Duchen?
I'm sure they will do that because you are not Duchen.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson, and good afternoon to everyone and everyone on the platform. Thank you very much to the Office of the SIU for your presentation. And I would also like to add to what my colleagues have said, congratulations for the work done and the achievements mentioned under, as you highlighted. Also then a special congratulations for establishing an office in the Northern Cape. I'm very happy that the SIU has footprints in all 9 provinces as well. So thank you for that. Then I would like to add to the question relating to the debt owed to the SIU. The amount given was at the end of March, 31st of March, and it was about, we now about 7 months after that. So is there an update? Have people been paying? What has been happening? What is the progress with regard to the past 7 months? And then Honorable Hahn also asked for a progress report. So I'm just concurring with that. And then with regards to money that has not been paid, debts that has not been paid to the SIU, I'm just wondering, and if the SIU in their system, when the invoices are submitted, do they have all the correct contact people so that there is no excuse? Some people might say that they've never received the invoice and that's why they could pay. So just to make sure that the correct information is on the system to make sure that there's no gap in terms of that. Then I see the security cost has increased. What is the reason for that? And also the whistleblowers. The whistleblowing has increased. Is that also a reason why the security has increased, or is it at all related? And then what protection does the SIU offer to whistleblowers who face victimization in that respect? Then I'm curious about the number of grievances lodged against the SIU, if there are any. I'm just curious with regard to that. And then the lifestyle audit, has the SIU done any lifestyle audit? If they have, does it assist with decreasing corruption? And I think that is it from my side. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Nivot. Now I recognize Honorable Maseko Jele.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And also thank you very much to the team. I just want to say it in our language, really boha holun that really boha amusevitsu mutle. You will translate that even to other members. This is very progressive and very encouraging. Let's amusevitsu warona webu no holun that emutivi. But Chairperson, I only have, because already my questions have been asked, but I want to emphasize on our, particularly on our department, that if they can really give us, because we see that the reports were to be concluded, the dates were given, for example, that of the July 2020, the one of the masters, and then also on the Mpumalanga and Limpopo High Court, their reports, they were having dates, maybe because of it was already towards the time of coming to the committee to report, you might have omitted it, but maybe you can just fill us, like my colleagues have mentioned. The last one, Chairperson, it's yes, on the protection of the whistleblowers, one will be very much interested to hear what is happening to those managers, the line managers that are really victimizing the whistleblowers. What is happening? What are the department doing? Is there any maybe mechanism that comes from the SIU in assisting that those managers, they are disciplined or they face very serious reprimanding or anything that will also assist the whistleblowers to be able, even those encourage those who have still not yet assisted us in terms of reporting these mal happenings within the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Maseko Jele. Thank you. That would have been the last hand for now. I'm going to...
Honorable Chair.
Yes, Honorable Valma.
If I can just, my apologies, I left one question, if I may.
Please go ahead.
I see, thank you, Chair. I see the performance agreement, 99%. Congratulations on the 99%, but I'm just curious why 1% did not complete. What is the SIU doing to make sure that all performance agreements are done? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Nivo Drogen. Advocate Mutibi, you would have listened to all the members asking those questions and making their comments about the work that SIU is doing. This is now an opportunity for you and your team to start responding to those questions and matters made. You might want also now to allow your chairperson to also say something as you respond to the questions. Over to you.
Sorry, Jay, can the host allow pinning, please?
Okay.
Yes. Honorable Chair, can I just check with your permission if I'm audible?
You are.
I'm using now my colleague's laptop. Can you hear me?
That's fine.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Yes, yes, I did. I heard you, Honorable.
Go ahead.
Yes. I'm going to, thank you. I'll indicate with regards to the debtors that I'm sure the CFO can come in on the details of the project that we have now kicked off. Because Honorable Chair, you'll recall that
maybe for now, Advocate Mtimi, maybe if you can switch off switch off your camera to get
before we even
switch off your camera to get a better network. You're breaking up.
If we ever
Advocate Mutimi, Advocate Mutimi,
we need to.
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you, Honorable Chair. Can you hear me? We really apologize for this.
That's better now. You were cutting, so we're missing a lot.
Okay.
Now,
Honorable Chair, I was saying.
For us to hear you properly, just for a while, switch off your camera and then you can speak.
Yes, thank you for that indulgence. I'm going to ask the CFO just to give details or some details on the projects that we have kicked off around the debt recovery, which includes just making sure that, as Honorable Niveno Drachen has said, do we have the correct contact people and so on? And then towards kicking off now the intergovernmental relations framework. CFO, do you want to just appraise the Honorable Committee?
Thank you, Advocate Mtimi. Yes, indeed. And thank you for that question, Honorable Member Nivote. What we have realized indeed is, especially on the older debt that is older than 120 days, in some of the state institutions, obviously officials do change, seats change. And one of the steps that we've done now that we in fact currently busy with through our people in operations is to make sure that the contact details of the accounting authorities, the accounting officers, the CFOs, and the end user, in the State Department that we normally deal with on an operations basis, the contact details are updated. So we have realized, also through assistance with the Office of the Auditor General, during the year-end audit, they were in contact with their peers that is auditing other state institutions, and we have indeed realized that here and there are incorrect details. So we are, it is one of the steps, and from there, we look at the merits of each individual case, state institution, and from there, we then follow the strategy, whether it is agreement to for a payoff, or if we can't get that, then it will include then the invoking of the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act. To respond to Honorable Member Horn with regards to progress on the funding model, we've had various discussions and engagements with the National Treasury officials. We have, after year end, we've received feedback from the Minister's office. The Deputy DG gave feedback that at this stage, the Minister of Finance do not foresee any changes in the funding model, and that the SIU must just ensure that the debt is recovered. We have accepted that. But however, we still, as the SIU, we feel that in the longer term, it would still be beneficial to engage as the systemic issues relating to the funding model. In other words, where there's a potential conflict of interest, where the top officials that must by you are potentially implicated, that they are, that issue is still not resolved, but we have accepted it and will obviously do all efforts to recover the debt. After year end, as I've mentioned in the presentation, we've received about 81 million, but obviously on a monthly basis, we also invoice. So currently the debt level has increased after year end in excess of 700 million. But as I've mentioned, the project, we do believe that the project that has kicked off for about 12 months is gonna show results, and we'll give continuous feedback to the committee with regards to the outstanding debt. Thank you, Advocate Motibi, and thank you, Chair and members.
No, thank you. Thank you, CFO. Honorable Chair, with regards to the proclamations that have taken more than 3 years and more than 5 years, again, we really would like to make sure that we turn around our investigations as speedily as possible. In my engagement with the Chief National Investigating Officer, is that some of the processes that we follow, particularly with regards to giving the implicated people, implicated persons, the right of reply. There they engage the lawyers, and of course they've got the right to do so. So that those processes tend to delay the finalization of the investigations and reaching of findings. Honorable Horn has asked, Honorable Chair, we will undertake to ensure that we extract all those investigations that are more than 3 years, more than 5 years as we speak. And I'm sure there wouldn't be many of those because we have really sought to finalize our investigations, but where they are, as indicated by the AG, we will extract them and prepare a formal report to this committee, which we will submit. The Honorable Committee could give us timelines. Today being the 18th, we could submit by the end of this month to do a comprehensive report, which will be 12 days to go. And we can undertake to do so in terms of indicating which ones are those and so on. In terms of the referrals to NPA, we've got an MOU with the NPA, and Honorable Horn has correctly asked the question whether we give state ready or prosecution ready dockets. We believe in terms of our law, we hand over evidence that points to criminal offense. But of course, when it reaches NPA, they then go through their own processes to ensure that they're able to reach a decision whether to prosecute or not. And in that regard, the NPA gives various updates. And in fact, I know that they've prepared a report which will be tabled soon at SCOPA, I think it is, and we could probably engage with them so that that report also reaches this honorable committee, so that we can they can indicate the cases that have been referred to them and the state at which they are in terms of being prosecuted or not prosecuted. Honorable Engelbrecht, and Honorable Chair, we really appreciate the kind words of encouragement from all the honorable members. We are encouraged, and of course, we will do our best to continue on this trajectory. Honorable Engelbrecht asks, which state institutions not implementing the recommendations? We have made various observations in this regard, and that's why we really are pleased that the presidency is now also coming on board, because we have observed that although our recommendations are being acted upon, particularly the disciplinary processes and all other referrals, but the speed of implementing is really worrisome. It's a matter of concern, and the monitoring mechanism that the presidency has put in place, it's really going to ensure that every state-owned entity, every department, every municipality is followed on to ensure that they implement. So we are really pleased, and that already it will improve on the consequence management side. Honorable Van Nieuwkerken and CFO, I'm not sure if you are able to respond to the issue around the past 7 months, because our report only goes up to March. And if you are able to, please make a note, and then you can come in once I'm done. Honorable Chair, with regard to the security cost that the honorable member is asking on, we have observed that. And Honorable Chair, as we indicated as one of the risks that we have pointed out, we get various reports from our investigators, from the whistleblowers, witnesses, that their lives are a threat. We receive those kind of reports on an increasing basis now. And in fact, it is our observation that going forward, this is the kind of cost driver that we must watch. But Honorable Chair, what do? When we get those reports, we subject them to an analysis or an assessment assisted by the police, together with our internal integrity department led by the CRO. So once that report tells us that the threat is, call it substantiated, then we are enjoined, we are duty bound to ensure that the lives of our security, of our investigators, or the whistleblowers are protected. And we do within the means we have. And there's also a program at NPA, which is the Witness Protection Program. We also make use of that. But we've had an instance where one witness in one case, we had to ensure that it's one of the state capture matters. The witness received death threats or threatening, and we had to make sure that that witness is protected and escorted when he goes to court and when he comes back. So there's quite detailed the details around that. But without going into too much detail for security purposes, the increase in the security cost is solely because of that. And we will really monitor that. We are glad about the program that's led by the Department of Justice with regard to improving our legislation around whistleblower protection. Hopefully, the results will come out soon of that assessment and the legislative changes so that adequate funding can be made in this regard. But we do provide as best we can within the means we have the protection that we provide. In terms of the grievances lodged, yes, we do get grievances internally, but we have sought, because we are improving on the employee relations environment, we are ensuring that the grievances are addressed as speedily as possible so that we really continue on our employee relations environment. But in terms of numbers, our Chief Human Capital Officer, if you've got the numbers, please, if you can provide to the Honorable Committee. Has the SIU done lifestyle audits? Yes, indeed. We have, Honorable Chair. And this is one of the areas where government as a whole, I think, has really noticed that the lifestyle audits are one of the tools that we can really use to ensure that we minimize the exposure to corruption. We have done various lifestyle audits in the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. We continue to do lifestyle audits in some of our investigations. We have seen that these are effective, Honorable Chair, and they really assist in identifying what I would call outliers, areas where the officials have to explain, and failure to explain is an indication that, that really we need to raise red flags. So yes, indeed, even internal to SIU, we've got 100% conflict of interest declarations. Our internal integrity unit looks at all of those and assess them accordingly. So in this regard, Honorable Chair, in the wider government space, we know that there's a process at the JCPS level where the lifestyle audits would be, you know, really considered in detail, and an appropriate framework would be put in place. We know that in various government institutions, we've seen the government of the provincial government of Gauteng implementing lifestyle audits. We've seen the Department of Public Service and Administration implementing lifestyle audits. So at a wider government, we need a comprehensive framework that would guide lifestyle audits. Honorable Maseko Jele, Realebo Hamma, thank you very much for the kind words of encouragement. And we remain encouraged. We will do our best without failure. With regard to the master's investigation and the Mpumalanga courts, Office of the State Attorney, and I think the other one is the Department of Correctional Services, we've got a presentation scheduled to this honorable committee on the 1st of November, where we will in detail where we are with those investigations, and we would be outlining in instances where the dates have been missed, what has been the reason and the rationale. And of course, we don't have the details now. With your permission, Honorable Chair, we could really ensure that when we appear on the 1st of November, we give all the details around all the those investigations. But I'm informed that in the master's investigation, the investigation is complete. We will be now running through and ensuring that the report is prepared. In the Mpumalanga courts, of course, also there's various activities, including the right of replies that are going on. We should be completing that investigation soon. In the DCS, the Department of Correctional Services, all the investigations have been complete. We are now at a stage where we will report on the civil litigation, disciplinary processes, and all the consequence management processes. So, Honorable Chair, we will prepare a comprehensive presentation for the 1st of November. This is really just high-level response, but we have taken into account the Honorable Maseko Jele's view that we really need to monitor our investigations and ensure that we don't exceed the dates that we have given. The protection of whistleblowers, I think Honorable Jele have also raised that. We have responded to that. The performance agreements, 99%. Honorable Chair, we have taken note of what Honorable Van Nieuwdragen has said. The 1% that was indicated, in fact, as we speak, we could probably be sitting at 100%. Because we have ensured that that 1% is also covered. But please, the Chief Human Capital Officer can just confirm that. And at this stage, Honorable Chair, from the notes of the questions I've made, I believe we've covered. I'll just ask the CFO to come in on the 7 months that Van Nieuwdragen Drachen, Honorable Van Nivo Drachen have said, and also around the performance agreements, Chief Human Capital Officer, if you can just indicate around the 1%. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson and the head of the unit, the 1% represented at the time of concluding this report, the special leave cases, such as people on maternity leave and some of those who were suspended. However, that has now been attended to. Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Mem Mashefu. CFO, if you can just please just appraise the Honorable Committee around the past 7 months with regard to debt, debt owing.
Yes, Advocate Matibi, I did. In my response, we've received 81 million after year end. So at the end of August, the outstanding debt was 762 million. So it has grown, and obviously we're going to, in the project, address it as good as we can. Thank you.
Okay, no, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. At this stage, with your permission, the Chair of the Audit Committee can come in.
Honorable Chair, may I come in?
Go ahead, Mayor.
Thank you so much. Excuse my voice. It's not my normal voice. I just had a wedding over the weekend for my nephew, so I apologize for this kind of rough voice. Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, our HOU and the executive team from SIU. On my side, I'm just going to be taking about just 2 minutes to indicate that the Audit Committee has actually performed its duties, all the roles and responsibilities as required by PFMA and the Treasury regulations were adhered to. And I'd like to also emphasize the fact that when it comes to the functions of the internal audit, we have actually ensured that they are strengthened even further. And part of what I'd like to emphasize is the fact that the question that was asked about the turnaround on investigations can also be alluded to by indicating that the audit committee is ensuring that in terms of core business, we even have more audits taking place so that we can enhance those turnarounds to an extent that HOU has signed a standard operating procedure, which should be guiding those investigations so that it can be easy for internal audit services to actually audit them, and we can be able to also ensure that there's a lot of improvement in terms of turnaround, especially in relation to those that are internally controlled. Because as you appreciate, some of the matters that impact on that turnaround are actually external looking, in which case, if they are outside the control of the organization, it might not be easy to actually control. However, besides not being easy to control, there can also be a way of monitoring any necessary interventions. So that SOP will actually strengthen that part of the oversight. I'm also happy to report to the committee, Honorable Chair, that the organization has also complied with its 3-year compliance framework in terms of the plan that it has established to ensure that there's legal and regulatory requirements adherence. Also from the side of internal audit, whatever plans we have approved as the audit committee, the annual plan as well as the 3-year rolling plan have also been adhered to. And also, Chair, it's important to add that when it comes to the maturity of risk management, we can pride ourselves in terms of being at the top level as per the evaluation by National Treasury in terms of the framework and plan and the way execution is actually adhered to, which also strengthens our internal audit function because all the plans of internal audit are risk-based. And if our maturity is at that level, already it adds on the effectiveness of internal audit work, which also Auditor General relies a lot on. And we are hopeful that as we proceed, they will even rely more. One point, Chair, that I can put forward as part of my conclusion is the fact that a concern that we are flagging is the one that relates to debt collection and the interventions that were made through National Treasury and also pursuing the IGR framework are such that we are monitoring them very closely to an extent that we even emphasize this point with Auditor General to say in terms of PFMA, organizations, both departments and entities are supposed to be paying their invoices within 30 days. Now, the question we're asking is the audit committee, which we always follow up with Auditor General is, when they audit those that owe us at SIU, how are they not able to raise this as a finding where these people are not paying within the 30 days, so that then it's not only us being owed, but this becomes a material finding on the side of the debtor that is owing us. They did actually pursue the matter with the head office. We are also going to be following up as well as to how far are they taking this, because we believe that if we can form synergies in following up on this debt collection, it would be very helpful because people don't want to be investigated. Therefore, the will to pay is not always there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Thank you, Doctor. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Advocate Mutibi. Any brief follow-ups, honorable members? I recognize Honorable Majel Namaseko, Namatemba Maseko Jele. Any other member for a follow-up? Thank you. Namatemba Maseko Jele, you are on the platform.
Thank you very much, Chair. No, it's only one point, Chair, that I wanted more clarity on the issue of hiring women. I had the presenter, the human capital officer, if I'm not mistaken, talking about hiring 39 women, or is it 39%? So can I get clarity on that one, Chair? And if this 39% is what I heard, I think they need to do something on that area, the DEM team, please. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. That's a brief follow-up. There are no other follow-ups. I will hand back to you, Advocate Mutibi, and I'm going to ask you to make your final comments.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Maseko Jele, we appreciate that question. I'll just do a quick check, and the Chief Human Capital Officer can come in. But I really want to commit and assure the committee that we take gender equity in the workplace very serious. And we would like to make sure that the numbers demonstrate that. Numbers and ability. We don't just appoint for the sake of numbers. We would like to appoint for the sake of ability and so that they can execute as equal as their male counterparts are executing. So Chief Human Capital Officer, can you please just appraise the Honorable Committee, is it 39 or 39%? And if so, why is it 39% and what is our improvement trajectory here?
HOU and Honorable Chairperson, it is 39 women of the total senior and top management, representing 31% of the total workforce. This is only accounting to the two levels.
So, Honorable Chair, that's the response, and I'm sure we should take into account the view of Honorable Maseko Jele, that even if it's just the two levels, then we will probably just review our resourcing plan, our recruitment process, and to see that the percentages should really be substantive and whether they should take us to a stage where there is gender equality in the workplace. We will go back, do the review, and if need be, Honorable Chair, we can submit to say after we have reviewed and assessed what is it that we're going to do, how do we change our resourcing plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Advocate Mutibi. Just before I close, I see your hand, Chairperson of Audit, Dr. Nandi Siwahla Madiba. I was going to come back to you because I want you, before I close, you have made important remarks here, and all of it very good, beautiful. But I wanted to ask you before you leave this platform, because you're not part of the employees there. You are the chair of the audit committee. I wanted you to indicate, to ask whether you have any sense or worry of an emerging risk in the SIU. You're not going to be penalized for that. It's important that we pick up those issues. Unless you are saying everything is just roses, you will say so.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, let me respond to your question as my second comment. Let me quickly cover one part as to why I was raising my hand. I wanted to say, Chair, not long ago, SIU was making a celebration to recognize women in forensic investigations. And as part of that exercise, I asked a question from them as to the ratio of women in terms of the entire payroll of the organization. And when we worked it out, it was 49%. That is overall. I'm adding to the response that is given by Madam Mashego to reflect on the middle management and relating to the 31% to say we actually worked it to 49% on the day I was asking them to share that information. Having to park that, Chair, there are two areas that I would like to share with the Honorable Committee. The first one is the security of personnel of SIU. We've raised this risk and we are deliberating on it every time we are having our audit committee meetings so that we can ensure that it is mitigated. Because within the organization, we do have a risk management subcommittee, and that subcommittee is feeding onto the audit committee in terms of the status of the risk management function. And that is one of the high risks that we are looking into to ensure that we don't look at employees only as people that will give in revenue and perform for the organization, and yet we are not concerned about their safety. So there is that high risk, and it is noted in our registers, and even in terms of mitigations, it is being given priority. That is the highest risk. The second one, Chair, I cannot say it's a going concern because there's no way we cannot be a going concern in terms of the operations that we are engaging in. However, this impact of debt collection cannot be left unattended to. When I was emphasizing the intervention that had been sought through Auditor General, it's because when we look at the magnitude of the debt, we believe that we could be making a lot of impact even beyond what we are doing if we were to be paid whatever debt is owed to us. But we hope that mitigating that risk would be the execution strictly of the IGR framework, because you will recall, Honorable Chair, that when it comes to monies owed to ESCOM, Treasury is able to actually offset those debts against the allocation to municipalities. Why can't we have the same exercise done from the PFMA point of view, whereby where these organizations are not paying us, there can be such interventions? So the other risk is that one. However, the mitigation is that the organization has a strategy and also the engagements with stakeholders. The CFO is having periodic meetings with CFOs of those organizations. And I can say this risk, whilst is there, is mitigated in the sense that there has been some improvement in terms of debt collection, which emanates from those stakeholder engagements. So I think I can assure the committee, Honorable Chair, that those risks are not being disregarded. They are looked into on a quarterly basis. And whilst we are commending the organization under the leadership of HOU in terms of all the clean audits, we also look into any audit findings that we were having. But even in that regard, we are happy that there's a lot of improvement, because a few years ago, sometimes we would have audit findings of about maybe 50 to 60, but that has declined a lot to almost a quarter of that record of our prior years. And they are also not even material findings. They are findings that are not even impacting the financial position and financial performance of the organization. Therefore, the risks that are identified are mitigated, and we ensure that we follow up on execution of all those mitigating controls. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Madiba, for those comments. Honorable members, with that, we have reached the conclusion of our annual report session with the SIU. I want to thank the Special Investigations Unit led by Advocate Mutibi and your entire team for the work that you are accounting for the 2021-2022 financial year. Hoping that already as we get into the 2022-2023, you would do better than what you would have presented here today. We look forward to the 1st of November session with you to tackle and deal with those issues. Thank you very much. You with your team, you are now excused. Just make sure that not many of them go for weddings, because then by the 1st of we might not have them being able to talk to us. Thank you, Advocate.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Noted, Chair. Thank you.
Honorable members, tomorrow at 2, we have the South African Human Rights Session standing. In the morning, we're meant to meet with the department on the hate crimes bill. I've just been informed that the department is not ready for tomorrow morning. And we tried to get the South African Human Rights to come in the morning, but they had already had a session that they planned, so they couldn't move. So the session we have tomorrow is the one that starts at 2, the annual report of the South African Human Rights. So in the morning, we would not be having a session owing to the department unreadiness for that particular matter. I thought I must just share that with you. Thank you very much for your attention and your contributions and participation. The time is now exactly 1600 hours. We have concluded 2 hours of the annual report. The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.